Welcome to Real Stories, a show that has honest conversations from the heart. I invite you to sit back, relax, and allow our guests to speak their truth.
I am your host, Tanya Communication Doctor, and the reason I do this show is because I want to provide a space for people to speak their authentic truth, coming from a heart space rather than a head space. Allow people to get into their space of consciousness, their space of confidence, and their space of connection. This, I think, promotes positive mental health, and this is why I do what I do. Hi, this is Real Stories, and I am your host, Tanya the Communication Doctor, and today on my show I have Dean Okai. And Dean Okai is the founder of ADPAC, which basically stands for African Diaspora Public Affairs Committee. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I just had to get all that out there. That is a title, isn't it? I can understand now why you call it ADPAC, because it's a huge title, isn't it? It makes sense, makes sense. Pull it all together. Can you just talk to us a little bit about ADPAC and why you set it up? And why you're really passionate about it?
Absolutely. So I'll frame it with this first, that we are part of a 500-year project. Wow. A very good friend of my missus, very wise and spiritual lady, came up with that in a vision. And we have to have clarity that is we're part of a 500-year project that we didn't design. We are in it. We are the project. It's not of our design or creation. This is why we are so fragmented, like the story of Babel, the Tower of Babel, with different languages, different gods, different everything, in spite of being one people as Africans. To give comparison to Chinese, we are 1.5 billion global diaspora, 1.3 inside of Africa. Chinese are 1.1 billion inside of China and about 1.3 in total. However, they had warring clans for millennia, as have we had battles, yet they remain one people with one government and one purpose. And as we're realizing now, a strong China represents strong Chinese. But it wasn't always the way. Mao came along and he set a system. We can circumvent everybody's development period because we know where people are now and how they got there. So I use China as a comparison, because with a 1.1 billion population there, they moved in the last 20 years, 300 million people out of abject poverty into working poverty, and 350 million people out of working poverty into middle class. So we know there is a blueprint model for what is to be done in Africa. Now, to bring that home locally, we think globally and act locally. We must organize amongst ourselves in the United Kingdom for self-determination. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't accept resources from government, because we pay our taxes to government. It means that we must be fiscally organized and civically organized to draw down on our full share of resources, not within Black, which is politically Black. For those of us that aren't aware, the race industry uses Black, but anybody who isn't a heterosexual white man can self-nominate to be Black, politically Black, which is why we find so many of our resources usurped. What we require is clarity. ADPAC, the African Diaspora Public Affairs Committee, is clarity about us. And I say African Caribbean because we are universally used to this. When I say that, I mean African stroke African Caribbean. So we don't actually exclude anybody, but we are talking about the African diaspora in the United Kingdom. Now, we're all susceptible to a common fate, which is why it is within our interests to align behind a common goal, under a common vehicle to coordinate all of our grassroots organizations, professionals, and advocates to the purposes of improving our socioeconomic mobility. In a nutshell.
You know what? Unity, basically. If you want to simplify everything you're saying, it's just about Absolutely. Bringing that, the Black community. And I like what you said about the Black community, but bringing the Black community together and trying to get rid of all of, I love the fact now that they're saying that using the term BAME is, you know, no longer acceptable, because that isn't acceptable, and it doesn't include us, rival as well. It's including us, but not, you know, it's including us, it's othering us. And like you say, you've got the Chinese, you've got the, you know, you've got the white people, you've got the, everyone's got their name, and it's about Absolutely. Us pulling us together. And when we look at it from a historical perspective, and you even look at slavery, that was the intention behind it with colonialism. The intention was to divide us, to take Absolutely. Away our, you know, our original religion, to take away our languages, to let us let go of the spirituality and our tribes and Absolutely. Everything. So everything, we've been stripped of everything. So in terms of moving forward, there's that focus of we have to come together as people, because there's always that fight. And you even have it with West Indians. No, I'm West Indian. No, you're African. And we just need to come together. And so I love what you're doing. I love that whole idea of unity. And I say, you know, at the end of the day, we're all originally from the motherland. I do believe everybody on this planet is originally from the motherland. And I would go so far as to say that white people are the children of Black people, if you go really, really,
yeah, absolutely. Really down. And historically, absolutely.
Yeah, so if you look at it from a motherland perspective, you can see that really. And it's about kind of trying to kind of come back to some of this indigenous ideas in terms of how things used to be, to connect with the earth, because we know we've got this whole problem with climate change now. Connect with the earth, connect with what's really happening, so we can come back as people and create a new community that's serving us in a positive Absolutely. Way. And when I say us, I mean as a Black woman and as a, you know, as a Black man, Absolutely. You know, in a positive way. And that's the way we move forward. Now, one of the reasons I brought you on the show today, Dean, was to talk to you a little bit about the report. And I don't want to go on and on about it, because a lot of people have gone on and on about it. I did want to go on and on about it, because when I originally saw the report, and I was absolutely fuming. I'm just gonna keep it real now. I'm gonna keep it real. Yeah, I was fuming because I was like, how is this is just British society. That is how they are. You know, someone said to me, what's the difference between the Americans and the Brits in terms of racism? And I remember saying, I said to my podcast probably, you know, a while back, I said it's manipulation. You know, it's manipulation, psychological manipulation. That is a difference. With the Americans, it's a little bit more in your face. With Trump, at least you know where you stood, right?
Yeah.
But in this country, it's psychological manipulation. So I'm going to just put that out there. What are your thoughts with regards to, not to go on, but what is your thoughts regards to the report?
So in terms of the difference between that was a call. That was me.
Okay.
In terms of the report and the difference between Britain and the United States, we're just behind in decades. Mm. So that report was actually to announce a racist conservative policy of benign neglect towards the African and African Caribbean population in the United Kingdom by gaslighting and overlooking all of the legitimate problems and saying they don't exist.
Yes.
Once you do that and it is allowed to go down, you can do anything to the people, which is why you see what's happening in the United States. So the policy of benign neglect was because the civil rights movement was becoming too big, too powerful, too quickly.
Yes.
And it was the global emphasis of every nation on earth looking at the United States. Now, they couldn't deny slavery. They couldn't deny Jim Crow. They couldn't deny the hangings. They couldn't deny the white supremacist terror. England's version being more subtle. Now that the country was built back based on our invitation. So we have to separate the histories. The Windrush generation were invited to Britain to rebuild Britain after the Second World War. They didn't say, you are the colony and we want all of this colour because you're going to bring mangoes and all of the exotic fruits, foods, music and colour that you're going that comes with. It was to rebuild the fabric of Britain, the London Underground, the NHS, the civil service, and a number of roles that English people didn't want to do, or that the men were killed in war and they didn't have enough men for those roles. So that's why we were in fighting. They didn't, however, desire us as people, but as servitude. Now, once you realize that you have no more use for a population, they've served their purpose, you create an environment of hostile, you create a hostile environment. So to give an example, now this example just negates the entire report that says Britain isn't institutionally racist. The Prime Minister, former Home Secretary, Theresa May, created a racist policy here. She informed her Home Secretary to carry out that racist policy to create a hostile environment for previously invited African Caribbeans and their children. The Home Secretary, Amber Rudd, gave an order, destroy naturalization records for these people here.
Yes, I remember.
The Home Office, civil servants, destroyed those records, which was illegal and institutionally racist. The Home Secretary then further went on to coordinate law enforcement, the immigration force, banks, the NHS, the Department for Work and Pensions, and local authority to fully isolate all of those people whose records were destroyed and their children. The key of that was to asset strip them, kidnap them, and deport them, which is terrorism. Racial terrorism that those who were the descendants of slaves in the Caribbean invited here to Britain were again racially terrorized. Now, what the rest of us are constantly under, which is why we are under constant reaction, is applied behavioral psychology to confuse, bamboozle, and terrorize us again, so that we're in a constant state of reaction. Reaction. And then certain tactics are used to create events so that we react, so that the same consciousness that created those events can cure those events. Once you overstand that entire game, which gives birth to the race industry, you step out, you congregate with your own, and you align under your interests, which have nothing to do with what's going on in the race industry. So the race industry was created so that we have a hierarchy based on race. So if European English people made themselves IC1, we've got bronze, we're IC3, we can never win in that race. And if you look at anybody with a 30, 40 year career in the race industry, they could have every single title that this country could give and every single accolade. They have zero power and zero influence against that so-called report. And I say so-called report because the consciousness that created the hostile environment directed the entire narrative of the report. Hence, Samuel Kasumu, the race advisor, alleviating himself of his position. So when you look at it in context, we know what the game is. You can no longer bamboozle us with applied behavioral psychology. You can't terrorize us anymore. And we have parity because of our electronic connectivity through social media and just interviews like this.
So it's just about raising awareness.
And it resonates, then it makes more sense to do with what is in your interest and be over here. Now, are your government going to like that? No, Because what it does is it creates free and fair competition. Mm. And we are all competing over finite resources. Mm. So the report is a 258-page spell. Magic merely being the ability to shift consciousness from one state to another. So on the Friday, we had equilibrium. On the Monday, we were angry and confused about the racist government. We knew.
Exactly. I think that it's, yeah. It just brings it. Yeah, it just brings it to the forefront.
Irrelevant. Mm. The only people capable of validating that report are the nearly 3 million people of African origin in the United Kingdom.
Exactly. Exactly.
And we refuse to do that by putting a line of salt across our door so that the dopey on the other side can't enter.
You know what's really interesting? As you're saying that, it's like the report was, the aim was just to break it down and make it simple. The aim was just to silence us, as what's yeah. And that's what's been happening for years. Absolutely. And what I find interesting, without going into COVID too much, that the fact that from a conscious perspective or from a spiritual perspective, we are walking around now with these masks, you know, covering our mouths. I'm sort of having to do that, covering our mouths right now. And it's almost like the power in that is what's happening in the world in terms of, you know what, you do not speak. You are your mouth has been covered. All of this is like, you're not going to speak. You're going to be silent. And that's been happening to us as a people for yeah. such a long time. And I just feel that isn't coincidence from an energetic perspective, but I do feel that things are coming up to the surface now. I've yeah. spoken to many people, and especially from the older generation, they will tend to say, you know what, things aren't going to change. We thought things were going to change with Dr. Martin Luther King. We thought things were going to change with Marcus Garvey, and things aren't changing. But what are your thoughts on that? Because, you know, as I said, we have the power of social media now. We have the power of our voices. Recently, it took me a while, but I've just finished reading. I'm no longer talking. Why? I know I'm probably a bit slow of reading it, but after reading it, it was so key. I think Why I'm No Longer Talking to Black People About Race was so key for me to read this book. And I think if anyone's mm-hmm. not read it, because it's from the British perspective, there's so many books out there about race, right? But it's from the British perspective. And what's really lovely, it's so articulate in terms of Renee Lodge goes back and she looks back in the 60s, she looks back in the 70s, and she references racial behavior, you know, racism. Mm-hmm. She references it, and she references everybody. So there's so much evidence there. I mean, forget that the report, just go read that book, I would say, and that can just prove the amount of racism that has happened in this country, you know, over the years, over centuries. So coming back to what I'm saying about the whole idea of being silenced, which you just kind of so beautifully broke down in terms of that's been happening for years. What do you think about moving forward in terms of us coming? Well, how do you see our future? Do you feel things are going to change because we are now speaking out maybe more so than ever? What do you feel?
Well, firstly, we're not speaking out more so than ever. We've always spoke out in exactly the same way.
Yeah,
I'm sure the ratio of advocates has been pretty much the same. The only blessing we have now is that we have had the examples of those who've gone before us.
Mm.
So we understand that charismatic leadership doesn't work, because all you have to do is either character assassinate or actually assassinate charismatic leader. What we require is the democratic institution. So we don't know, or I couldn't tell you off the top of my head, who created the NHS. I can't tell you whose idea it was.
Yeah.
I can't tell you the cabal of people who were in a room who actually put the structures together, informed the Labour Party to build it out. But here's the thing, it doesn't matter.
Mm.
And it doesn't matter how many of the leadership transcend in the actual organisation. Somebody else will step into a clearly defined role to run that institution fluidly. What is of all importance now is that we learn the lessons. Our umbrella must be diplomatic. It must be voted on by the members who take an interest within advocacy in our nation. that goes across economics, education, housing, justice, trade and industry, media, and I'm sure I'm missing something. I keep so much in my cerebellum. The reason I'm just going to digress very quickly. The reason I was almost late for this interview is because I was just witnessing for a political candidate in a neighboring borough of Enfield. So we were with the council lodging that, and it was all at the 11th hour. The whole point of avoiding these things, and I'll just give you that, is what I was doing literally an hour and a half ago, is to create the systems where we have all of the experts in place, where it can be seamless. So on the right hand, we advocate. On the left hand, we use a political vehicle. We gain local authority positions. That is how you change. Not by joining the Labour Party, who have Labour bylaws. Not by joining the Conservative Party, who have Conservative bylaws. And as your grandmother might have said, no such thing as a river without banks. Those banks guide how the water flows. Make no mistake, for all of one's young naivety, all of one's young aspirations, I'm going to change it from the inside. They've thought about you long and hard.
Of course.
The power is outside. We can no longer ask Dawn Butler what she's going to do for us.
You've got to do it for
yourself. We don't need to ask any of the current African Caribbean MPs what they are going to do for us. We ask what they need to be done. We make the correct noises. We are engaged with the people. We are not governed by party bylaws. So anything any of them say, which is a problem, we put on steroids and galvanize the people behind it. So this report that we're all so het up about is absolutely irrelevant. The bill, the criminal justice bill, is of all importance because that is the one that could return us to be slaves tomorrow. We have no military might to resist it. There is no English political will to resist it. What they are telling you is to curtail peaceful demonstration or to protect from COVID is all a lie. They will confuse you with applied behavioral psychology, where you are so bewildered by all the messages, which is why they keep using BLM to demonize African people who experience loss of life and say that our observation isn't as valued as English roses on Clapham Common. But they stamped on the English roses, didn't they? So a policeman murdered an English lady.
And you just see how quickly.
English women. And then they said that the women politicized. So it wasn't the order from the Home Office to stamp on these women so that everybody was well aware that peaceful demonstration of any kind will not be tolerated. Police serve at the pleasure of the at service of the people unless they serve at the pleasure of the government. Now, one is a totalitarian state, which is what the bill will bring in, which is under the global trend of the Chinese blueprint. China has it down. If you want to see 1984, the book at play, go to China. China, without small acts of resistance, is our future.
Yeah, I believe that's what
Davos is where all of that is culminated in what the totalitarian state will look like for non-Chinese people. There's no more secrecy in it. We need to shield ourselves under our umbrella so that we can fully coordinate our services nationally. Umbrellas don't make it rain, but they do protect you from the rain. So when they say you're race baiting, we're not in your race industry. We are over here organizing us so that we can create parity, knowing Nothing given can be sustained. So if you give it to me, you can take it from me. But if we create it and now we draw down on our resources inside your institution, we govern it ourselves. That's why we win at running. That's why we win in music or in media or in anything else where we there's parity. It's just an open track.
Yeah.
No gatekeepers, no license. We'll win because we know how to compete under pressure.
Yeah, and we do. That's one. That's resilience is definitely something that's become part of our DNA because of what we've had to experience as people. That I definitely agree with you on that. You know what I was going to ask you about? I've got written down here. I was going to ask you about the vaccine passport. It's just really interesting talking to you because it's quite refreshing actually the way you break it down. And I feel that this will be really good for our audience to understand what is currently going on and how we can pull together and how, you know, it's not about relying on anybody else. We've got to just rely on ourselves and know our rights, as simple as that. We know our rights so we can protect ourselves to move forward and do whatever we want to do. But we need to be creating more entrepreneurs. We need to be working in our own businesses. We need to be not relying on the educational system. We need to create our own educational system. All these kind of things seem simple, but we just need to get going with it. And it is possible. And one thing that's just been on my mind as well is this whole vaccine passport, you know, because that's another way of dividing people, isn't it? It's another way of dividing people. It's another way of control. It's another way of silencing people and not giving people the freedom to do what they wish to do, you know, because there's so much kind of, there is some conspiracy and there is also a lot of truth and science with regards to what's happening currently now with COVID. But what's your feeling on this whole idea of this vaccine passport?
So here's the thing. First of all, language. We've got to use the correct language.
Okay, my love.
Because the CIA created the term conspiracy theorist, everybody now uses conspiracy to mean theory. No, conspiracy is two or more parties coming together to conspire to put something into play. So a conspiracy is what actually happens. Now, it will either be a conspiracy, which is factual, or it will be a conspiracy theory. If we don't have the proof, it's a conspiracy theory. But because language evolves and nobody's going to correct you because it's not within their interests, we now use, you're not one of those conspiracy people. Conspiracy means two or more parties coming together to action something. So I don't look at whether this is a theory or not. I merely look at the evidence.
Yeah.
So you have one global billionaire who has made it his business to be in the biological warfare industry, the military industrial complex, the intelligence business by supplying the spy agencies with his software, and now with the vaccination business. So here's the thing. Billionaires don't like to pay tax. Here's a simple way to circumvent paying tax. You set up a foundation. Let's just say that foundation were called the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Wonderful. What you do is you donate come tax season as much as you like to that foundation, which is merely under you and your wife's name. Then they said, Bill has resigned from Microsoft to become a philanthropist. I don't blame him. His foundation is now worth hundreds of billions. So does anybody get to tell him where he invests that money? No. So it gets confusing now. What's philanthropy? And what is seed capital?
Yeah.
Now, when you invest seed capital in an industry, you expect a return on your investment. So that could be, let's say, Monsanto to control world seeds. Why you want to control synthetic world seeds is beyond me, when nature's been doing perfectly well for a million years. Then we have new viruses. There is no natural new virus on God's green earth. They are created in a laboratory.
Yeah.
However, we don't assume it comes from China, America, or anywhere else. When people are firing, just duck and cover your backside. But we are aware that people are firing because there are gunshots. Now, the thing about gunshots is, like applied behavioral psychology, it tends to confuse people because we don't care where it's coming from. We just know that there are gunshots. Yeah. Here's the thing.
It's with the fear.
When the guns stop firing, people are still scared.
Yeah, that's it.
And this is how you whip them into a frenzy so that they will react and then respond according to how you direct them. Now, when there is a national initiative that is so pressurized, I stop. Because when I was a child, I used to watch QED, Question Everything Done. Great show, many subjects. And it creates a critical thinker. The big question is why? Why does humanity need to be hoarded into this controlled space for the emerging central banking crypto currencies, the government ones, which every government on earth has adopted, bar a few developing countries? And as the Davos Directive said, all purchases will be controlled. All cross-border payments will be controlled. All transactions will be recorded for perpetuity. The pound, the dollar, is a wrap. You cannot just print money out of thin air and pay people to stay home in a socialist state because money has no value. And the only value of fiat currency is the value that human beings place in it. Once that faith is gone, it's a wrap. Anarchy ensues. Knowing that, they create this criminal justice bill because when it explodes, they have the law and the license to control us. So African people need to be organized in our little pocket to know what we are doing, what serves us at a national level with nationally coordinated resources, because England is not going to make provision for us at that time.
Yeah.
Should it happen?
That's such a good point. Yeah. No, it's... I love the way you just broke it all down. It's such a good point as well. They're not going to make. We just need to work. We just need to be, like you say, protecting ourselves. I like the analogy of the umbrella and just thinking about ourselves. We need to, and it's not selfish. It's important. It's not selfish to think about yourself. It's actually important to put yourself first
just
in that way.
Throw something in there. I find it almost ridiculous when English people say selfish, because nothing that affects nearly 3 million people can be selfish.
Yeah, exactly. I love that. That is so true. It's so true. Because you've got the white supremacy. They don't really see. They live in the glass house. They, you know, and obviously the system is created for them. You know, it's created for them, not for us.
Everybody to tend their own backyard.
But
please do not tell me or us about our own garden space.
Yeah.
Because the fence is clear and the fence dictates the parameters of what we can and can't do on each other's land. So when you come over here out of the race industry into our ethnicity, it's no longer your business. We don't require to bond, but that's childish. We desire to be able to live as sovereigns under our own self-determination to control our own economics, politics, and education. That doesn't require anybody else's permission.
No, you're right. It's to think about it. And then also, you know, it's not about war either. It's about working together to be able to do that at the end of the day. Some people will probably be looking at this or some people are afraid. The thing is, what really gets me is when people are having to go through these lengths, because there is a lot of fear. A lot of people fear us as Black people. They fear us. And there's no need to fear. You just need to let us work together so we can create what we need to create, because we have been suppressed for so long that we just want to be able to do our thing. Simple as that. Just do our thing, you know, and build our communities and, you know, raise our vibrations spiritually and just do what we do. You know, there's no need to fear. We need to just be able to work together. And it's really interesting how this report came out so fast, because it is because It is, again, it's all because they fear us. They feel, oh my God, they're going to get out of hand. Oh my God, Black Lives Matter is getting out of hand. Oh my God. And at the end of the day, stop trying to fear and just give us our compensation as well. You know, give us a compensation. I mean, that's probably a long conversation. But if you think about the Jewish people with regards to Holocaust, they got their compensation. We haven't got our compensation for foot. Yeah. There would not be a thing called the Great British Empire if it wasn't for slavery, you know. So there's lots of things there to have a look at, really, on a deep level. But time has kind of caught up with us, you know, Dean. Time has caught up with us. But I'm really, really happy to have you on the show today. I'm really happy to kind of talk to you just about everything and break it down, because sometimes we need to break it down and to look at things from a different perspective and to understand the power of us. And I had a lovely conversation with another lady on my podcast about the Maasai warriors and the power of the Maasai warriors. And I remember... Mm. When it was Black History Month, when I was working as a teacher, it was probably about 4 or 5 years ago now, quite a while back, and I talked about the Maasai warriors, and there was a young boy that came to me and he said, I felt really proud to be Black. Yeah. Just after hearing that, that was how powerful it was, because he never heard about anything like it. And I suppose within history, we always get the negative. We always talk about slavery and the negative side without seeing the power of some of the people that live, you know, in those indigenous communities that are incredibly powerful and doing incredible things and understand the land, understand the connection. And I think with regards to climate change, if we speak to those people, we'd be able to turn a lot of different things around, you know, with regards to what's happened. Because, you know, we, as Black people, we do understand the land, you know, as the Indigenous people, they do understand the land. Mm-hmm. And we've lost some of that from a spiritual perspective. But we have the power to achieve, we've withstanded all of this anyway, you know. You said we're resilient people. We have the power to do anything we want to do. And I feel that if that's the message I get across today, that's one of the best messages I can get across to the younger generation. You have the power to do whatever you want to do in your life. You don't have to fight against each other.
Nobody in your way.
That's it. You just need to pick your goal, focus on it, keep driving forward, and, you know, and just keep pushing for what you want and supporting each other. That's all it is. We need to come together and support each other rather than fight against each other. And I feel that's a great way to end the show. Is there any words of wisdom that you want to, or any quotes that you want to end the show with, Dean?
I'll just say this specifically because we're speaking to young people as well. Power is self-appointed. Those who appoint their power understand that. You are not going to embarrass them out of their position of clarity. They know, as do I, as should everybody who desires for something different. Make a decision, work your way towards it, gain qualification. I don't mean qualification from anybody else. All information is openly available, be it esoteric, be it political, be it economic, it's available. Appoint yourself the position you desire to have. All power is self-appointed. And that is how you become sovereign. People think it's a process, it's a decision about you and your inalienable rights under God, and let nobody transcend your rights. That is it. We are the power we desire to be. If we have a problem, we place people in our way. We are free, or as free as we desire to be.
Beautiful. Exactly. I love that. We are free, and as free as we desire to be. Beautiful. Thank you. And I'm just going to say, from Tani Communication Doctor and from Dean Akai, adios. One of my takeaways from this show is looking at ADPAC. It's a place where you're supporting a community, supporting the Black community to come together and to unite. And it's a place for positive growth. Also, it was really interesting because there were so many takeaways from listening to Dean. But one of the favourite things that I got from this show was just desire to actually take charge within your field, or as D Dean said it within your yard, you know, we are in charge, you do what you need to do. And with regards to freedom, we are as free as we desire to be. So if that is the case, if you desire it, take control of your life, take control of what's in your backyard to strive forward and push forward and unite as black people and come together. Okay. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening. If you would like to learn more, please visit our website at communicationdoctor.co.uk. And to listen to more real stories, don't forget to subscribe.